talk with George Norrie, call the Wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
What a great night of open lines. So we'll be back in a moment. We've got another hour to go right here on Coast to Coast AM. I'm still waiting in about 20 minutes for some statement on the Pope's health from the Vatican. When we get it, we'll pass it right on to you. Let's move back to the phones. Let's go to our April Fool's line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Dee from Tucson.
Hey, Dee. So did you play this or have it done to you?
I played it on my mom.
What'd you do?
Well, in the early 70s, my folks were always yelling at me and telling me that I drive too fast, and I had gotten transferred with my company up to Oklahoma, and we were in Dallas. And so on the weekends, I would drive back and forth and to my folks. And I'd make the trip in about 2 hours sometimes, and it's almost 200 miles. And so they would just always fuss at me, saying how scared, you know, they were me driving out there that fast. And so one weekend, whenever I left on a Friday, it was April Fool's Day, so I didn't call my mom before I left like I always did. I waited till I got into Dallas, and then I called her and told her I was leaving and showed up at the house about 15 minutes later and just totally freaked her out.
I love it. I love it. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Appreciate it. Let's move on to our West of the Rockies line. Welcome to the show. Hi there.
Good morning, George.
Yeah, where are you calling
from?
Hi,
this is Dan from Modesto, California.
Hi, Dan.
Hi, I got a friend of mine, and we used to hunt. I'm not into it anymore, and he went out one day and came back with the most frightful look on his face, and he swore that he'd seen Bigfoot. And we've heard this story so many times, and over the years and over the years, me and my friend Brian are the practical jokesters. So we decide on April 1st, we usually all go up to this place called Cherry Lake. There's this great point where I thought that I would get in this gorilla outfit that looked pretty much like Bigfoot. And when I heard them come around the corner, I was going to run across the road. That's all we were going to do.
Yeah.
And then the next day, I was going to ski by the cove that we're at in the gorilla outfit with the Bigfoot mask on and wave to them. And, you know, practical joke. April Fools, we got you.
Sure.
Well, I heard the car coming. I decided I'm going to go out a little bit early, started to run out, and I was like, you know, that doesn't sound like my friend's car. Well, too late. These people had come around the corner at a high rate of speed. I ran across the road, realizing it's not them. I hear the car lock them up. It's a big truck. You just hear the tires. Gunshots.
Oh, no.
Branches are breaking over the top of my
God.
I'm running for my life, scared to death. And I heard my friends finally come up behind. They're like, hey, what are you guys shooting at? What are you shooting at? And they're like, Bigfoot!
Oh, no!
My buddies are, oh, my God, that's our buddy. We were going to play a joke on my friend that's sitting right here. I ended up out in those mountains for about 7 or 8 hours. I was so afraid to come back out.
I don't blame you. Did these guys stop when your friends told them that this was a joke, or did they not believe them?
They didn't believe them.
I knew that.
How did you know that?
I don't know. I just had a funny feeling.
They turned their KCs on and started driving through the woods where there's no road and chasing me down that they were going to bag Bigfoot.
Now, your friends must have been going nuts.
They were cracking up, and a couple of them were really nervous, you know what I mean? And they were thinking about calling 911 because these guys are trying to kill me. At the end of the story,
God,
I ended up back out on the road in my underwear.
I don't blame you.
And they picked me up, and we went back and started talking about it, and I do not recommend anyone doing that where there may be rifles.
Take that costume off no matter what.
Correct.
Yeah. You know, I've always suspected that maybe some of these Bigfoot sightings were people like you who had a costume on and they were just playing around. But you know what? What a way to get killed.
Oh, man. You know, I never even thought of it. It never even crossed my mind that something like that might happen. I had this perfect joke lined out, and I was going to get him back and it was going to be a great thing. I was going to water ski by the next day in the outfit, and we had the video cameras, and it went awry.
Boy. You got that right. Yeah. The joke almost was on you.
Yeah, it was. I'll tell you, the branches were just right over the top of my head cracking, and yeah, that's kind of scary. They had dogs, too. Thank God they didn't let the dogs go.
Well, you're lucky they were bad shots.
Actually, yes, very lucky, and it was dark, and I thought that would be even safer, too, because it was dark, and I just wanted the headlights to catch me, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you got it. Okay, thanks.
Okay, George.
Bye. That's a great story. It could have been a bad ending. East of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
Hello.
My name is Jasmine. I'm calling from Toledo, Ohio.
What was your name? I missed it.
Jasmine.
Jasmine, that's different.
It's very rough, my name.
Toledo. I've been to Toledo.
I really don't like it here. I really don't.
How'd you end up in Toledo?
Well, my mom came back here from California because family's here, I guess.
Okay, yeah. It gets cold in Toledo.
Yeah, well, not really sometimes.
It was neat. You know, I was born in Detroit, so I'd get there once in a blue moon. I'd get there. But it's nice. It's a small, quaint town, but they've got a great little horse race track there and everything.
It's so oppressive up here.
So what's on your mind, Jasmine?
Well, before say something, when I heard Oscar on there, I kind of like start to tear up. You know, tears come out of my eyes.
Oh, really?
And I'm a very spiritual person.
Yeah.
And, before I say something, I just want to say something to Oscar. If you're listening.
He's listening, I'm sure.
Oscar, you're not going to win. And when Christ comes back, we'll be diminished forever.
Good.
So, my story is, when I was about 11, well, it was 13, 14, I had a dream that I saw an angel stand outside my window. And when I seen it, I started getting, like, really, really scared because his wings got on his back. And next day, about a few weeks later, I had an aunt died of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So it could have been angel of death. And another thing happened to me was I was coming from the art museum. I heard somebody call me. I turned around. Some guy gave me his paper. When I looked inside, it was a $20 bill. When I turned around, he was gone. So I was thinking, like...
But the 20 was still there.
Yeah, it was there. When I turned around, the guy was gone.
Yeah.
So it couldn't be, like, angel or...
Well, maybe. Did you need the money at that time? I bet you did.
I probably did. I wasn't thinking about it, but I was, but it wasn't really on my mind. So I was like, oh, it's a new $20 bill.
You know what's kind of funny? I see in movies, when you see these angels in movies and they spread their wings out.
Yeah.
It is a little scary.
Yes, it is.
Even though the angels, you know, they're great angels, but when those wings come way out, it's kind of weird.
Especially in the dark, like the shadow.
Yeah.
That really freaks me out. My heart starts racing and I get on the covers as I am. Just, wow. And when I was a very little girl, I had a dream that I heard God's voice, but I didn't see his face. I guess I wasn't ready to see his face. So I fell down on the concrete, face down.
Oh, my.
So.
Did you break your nose?
No.
Oh.
No. No, I didn't break my nose.
I thought you said you fell down on the concrete.
What I meant is like.
Oh, you like stooped down or something.
Like Moses did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No. No. So, yeah, but like I said, Oscar, he really got issues.
Oscar's got issues.
He may go down a strip bar and he'd be happy. Or he don't want to deal with, you know, Jesus, something like that. And the voice... I thought somebody playing a joke. I swear to God, I thought it was a joke.
You've got a great laugh. You know that?
Oh, thank you.
All right. You take care. I'm going to run on.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
Bye.
I could end up laughing all day. Once I get into a little laughing thing, I can't stop. Wildcard Line, welcome to the show. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yes, sir.
You said you wanted creative. I thought of this one a couple of days before, and I pulled it on my wife and son at the same time.
Oh, I love it. What happened?
He turned 18 March 31st. So he'd been getting these things in the mail from recruiting agencies from the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines all along, because when they turn 18, they do that.
Oh, yeah. They know how to market.
Yeah. So I kept one from the Air Force, and I took my wife into his room this morning when he was sitting at his computer, and I was real serious look on my face. I said, honey, come in here. You better sit down, to my wife. I said, Michael, this came in the mail. And they said, it's addressed to him and has his name on it. And I go, it's from the Air Force. And he said, they're informing you that they've reinstituted the draft.
Oh, no.
And that you're
gone.
Requested to report to Fort Benning 2 weeks from today. And he was shaking his boots. And my wife's going, no, oh, my God. And then I have him open it up. I'm trying to keep a straight face. And it already written in it, April Fool's. So he opens it up and reads that. And he cracks a big smile. And my wife still didn't know until I started busting out laughing.
Oh, my.
And everybody got the biggest laugh out of it. It was hysterical.
And you know what? I bet he would have gone. I bet he would have been prepared and ready to go, wouldn't he?
He probably would have.
Yeah.
But I did that to make sure he goes to college.
Yeah. No, I understand that. Hey, thanks.
All right.
Appreciate that. That's an interesting April Fool's joke. Let's go to our wild card line. It's your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi.
Hey, George, this is Mike. I'm calling from Winnipeg.
Hi, Mike.
And the reason I'm calling is when you had that devil or the demon on the radio a minute ago,
mm-hmm.
I have a glass cross that is above the fireplace in my living room. The fireplace was on, and the cross was on the wall, and the demon was talking on the radio, and in the middle of your conversation, the glass cross flew off the wall and shattered on the ceramic tile below the fireplace.
You've got to be kidding me.
I am honest to God serious, and that was the most scariest thing I have ever experienced in my whole entire life.
How long has that glass cross been up there?
I've lived in this house for about 6 years, and my mother gave it to me, and it's been here ever since I moved in this house.
And it's never fallen off before?
Never. And like I said, it was the middle of your conversation that flew off and shattered.
Well, you know, I have always believed that good beats evil. This guy's convinced that evil's going to beat good, and that's not a good omen when a cross falls off and gets shattered when this guy's
in
the air.
Not at all. And I don't know how that could happen with the voice over the radio, but that was just the most eeriest voice I've ever heard, and it was just unbelievable, and I had to share it with you.
All right, thanks. Nice. First-time caller line, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yes, how you doing, George?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Great, great. I had a story about chupacabras. I was listening to you a few weeks ago. Actually, I was in Mexico, about 650 miles down in Mexico.
Uh-huh.
You out of the station 1200, I believe, in San Antonio. And y'all were talking about you didn't get to the chupacabras, but you were talking about all kinds of other animals that exist all over the world. And I wanted to talk to you and ask you all about the chupacabras and actually mention the story that I know about.
Okay, yeah, tell me the story.
A friend of mine, the way I found out about it, she's a truck driver, and I used to go to her house to lift weights with my friend, and my friend, her husband, would always joke with her and tell her, hey, do you see the vampire today? And he started laughing, and I'm like, well, what are you guys doing? And that would happen, you know, for a few weeks. And then I finally, and she would say, shut up, I don't want to talk about it. She finally started telling me about it. And she said that she was driving down Texas going towards Fort Stockton. And she was going down the road, and what happened, she had all her lights on. So I believe this is what caught the beast's attention. She had all her lights on, and she's driving down the road doing a little bit of paperwork, which I guess she shouldn't have been doing, but she was bored. And all of a sudden, she heard a very big thump, a very big crash on the passenger side. And she looked over, and she just freaked out. She said she's looking at this beast, at this vampire. And I said, well, how do you know it was a vampire? So, well, I could see its two teeth. It was hissing at me, hissing and making noise like a hyena, she would say. And I looked away. And when she says when she would look away, the animal would go crazy. Would just, you know, just I guess try to get her attention, from what I gather from everything she told me. So he would hiss and bang on the window, and then she would look over, and then he would just the animal would just settle down, just literally look into her eyes and profoundly just stare into her eyes. And when she would say that, you know, she would say that he would do that every time she would look away. I mean, every time she would look at the animal, because she had to keep looking at the road. But the animal would settle down when she would look at it. And I said, well, you know, there's rumors that the thing hypnotizes its prey. You know, so that might have been what it was doing to you, trying to.
And she was dead serious about this creature.
Oh, yeah. She wouldn't even talk about it. She didn't want to talk about it for weeks and weeks and weeks. But one of the things that happened is, see, this is way before it became famous, before the T-shirts and all kinds of stuff started.
Right.
Out about it. About a year before that happened, she was just going down this lonely road, and she was yelling for her husband. Her husband was asleep, and I'm a truck driver myself, and I've driven with him, and she said she was just yelling her heart out, get up, get up, get up, and he would not get up, and I know him, and he when he falls asleep, nothing wakes him up. So she's going down the road, and she speeds up and hits the brakes and speeds up, and he's trying to knock him off, but he's hanging onto the mirror and onto a rail that is he's perfect there. I mean, there's like a little stair on these trucks, you know, when you get up on the truck.
Oh yeah.
So he's set. There's no way he can fall off. But you know, this thing must have been flying, because when she said I could see its wings. I could see he had wings, you know, and the thing was about 4 feet tall, maybe 4.5 feet tall. And the thing just go crazy every time she.
Did you believe her?
Oh yeah, yeah, I know her. She was dead scared. I'm talking about it, but what convinced her she wasn't going crazy was when it started becoming famous a year later. She saw on a program, one of those talk shows on TV. She saw the animal. She actually saw pictures and drawings that people were drawing about it and sketching. With their tests, their stories, and she said, "Oh my God, that's it! You know, I'm not going crazy. Look," and she even yelled and freaked out because she said, "That's what I saw, that's what I saw." So anyway, she said it lasted for about half an hour. She could not get the thing off. She couldn't, you know, she would speed up and just wouldn't fall off, and then she just wouldn't look over, and then all of a sudden. Just looked over and it was gone.
It was gone. I got to tell you, you know, that is a very, very convincing story of a chupacabra. And I'm convinced that there are creatures on this planet that exist. They could be chupacabras. They could be Bigfoot. And they're out there. This is a huge, huge planet. I got to tell you, just flying from Los Angeles to Hawaii last week, to get there in one day and then do the show on a Friday night, even though this plane is just flying like crazy, this is a huge planet. And I'm sure there are some creatures here that we don't know anything about. Hey, thanks for the call. Wildcard Line, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
This is Robin from Las Vegas.
Hi, Robin.
And, first of all, I just wanted to say I'm sending my condolences and thoughts to you and your family.
Thanks. Yeah, we're talking about my aunt. She's not doing well.
I'm not sure keep you in my prayers.
Okay, thank you.
And my mother raised standardbred horses.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, raced a lot at Northfield, Scioto Downs. And I grew up around animals. We had dogs, cats, everything. I've always been intuitive since I was a child, not just with people but with animals. Probably animals were a little more easier for me.
Yeah.
Because it's a more pure energy.
That's right, it is.
So I became a Reiki master, and I really kind of focused my energy on sending healing to animals. But I spent time volunteering children, educating them on different types of wildlife, because if we educate them to respect the animals, that'll just transcend.
True. Hey, I had a story today that shows that animals laugh.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that horses great?
Especially.
Yeah, they do. Oh, yeah, just like that Mr. Ed.
Well, I have a... Okay, I'm going to preface this story.
Okay, I'll tell you what. I'm going to put you on hold and get you when we come right back, okay?
Okay, great. All right.
We'll be right back with you. We'll get your story right here on Coast to Coast AM. We'll be right back.
To talk with George Norrie, call the Wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Well, they came out with a quick condition on Pope. His condition really hasn't changed much. He is not in a coma. And when you talk to him, when he's spoken to, he opens up his eyes. And we'll just stay on top of this. And I'm sure this will be a major story this weekend. And, you know, Father Andrew Wingate says he's going to pull through. I don't know, but we'll wait and see. Let's go back to you. There, I promised you we'd come back to you.
This is an animal communication and a ghost story all in one.
All right, you're giving us everything.
Well, I've been in contact with wolves that have actually licked me and kissed me and every kind of animal imaginable. One time my husband said, you know, let's go to the zoo. So some animals, you know, you pick up on, some you don't, just like with people. And we saw the huge reptile house. Now, I will say that this is before I saw Harry Potter or even knew anything about Harry Potter.
Okay.
So I walk in, and there are four huge plexiglass containers. There's two boas on the left and two African rock pythons on the right, about 15 feet long. And I wasn't really afraid of them because my brother's had a python, and he studied herpetology. And I was sitting there just in marveling this one, and slowly it moves its head toward me, comes down from her tree, keeps moving towards me.
It's looking at you.
And I'm like, okay, I know, like with any animal, if I get startled, they'll get startled. So I breathed deeply, and I got tingles on the top of my head, and she just slowly slithered up to me to look at the top of my head.
And again, you're separated by glass, right?
Right. All right. Now, they can't see, they can smell. Now, I took a log, and I've been doing this for about a month, and the herpetologist and the zoologist said, this doesn't happen. Okay, these snakes never move for anybody, and they're not attacking you because they go into an S position if they want to attack.
Okay.
So I was the Harry Potter of the zoo, and I found that whenever I just kind of had very serious questions beyond daily things but understanding, I felt just this complete knowing in their presence. And some people would come in with their kids, and they'd be like, ooh, stay away from that lady, you know.
Yeah, there's something wrong with that one.
But you know what? When kids would run in there to the snakes are not intimidated by the children. But if somebody walked in and I got a really funky feeling, the snake immediately froze up.
Almost like they have another sixth sense,
yeah,
or something.
Huh? Well, so after a while, both these snakes, I'd come and say hi to them and visit with them, and I adopted them and gave money for them to have better facilities. And one time I'm in there, and I have my purse and my water bottle sitting on a chair next to me, and I would sit on the floor in front of them. And it was there for a while. My purse was settled for a while, and all of a sudden, it flies off the chair and the water bottle. And I was like, oh, okay.
How could that be?
You know, I just pick it back up. And the snake didn't move or do anything. She was kind of leaning up against the glass, looking at the top of my head again. 10 minutes, 15 minutes go by, and all of a sudden, she starts moving her head across, away from me, up towards the air. And I'm like, wait, where are you going? I'm over here. I'm over here.
Yeah.
She focuses her head on the position just above the chair. She pulls back in an S and strikes at the glass.
Never had done that before.
No. And no, it was almost like there had to be some other energy in there.
You think like she may have seen a ghost there?
You know, if we have things around us, you know, I don't know what, but I felt that it was protecting me, or just curious, because anything that's new or strange, and also my brother told me, I did some reading on snakes. They have holes in their nose. They actually get information from vibrational energy.
Yeah, that's true.
So if they can't really measure that energy. They don't even understand it themselves. So if they have such a higher sense of sensory, and that's why they were attracted to my head when it tingles, if that crown chakra is going off, something was just in there, and, you know, boom.
Yeah, that's it. They were obviously aware of something. Hey, thanks for that call. Well worth waiting for you. Welcome back. Let's go right back to the calls before we're done for the night. Don't forget Art Bell this weekend. Let me give you the schedule, by the way, for the rest of the week. We may, depending on the condition of the Pope, bring in John Hogue and Kathleen Keating next week and do some changes. But subject to that, Monday, Catherine Austin Fitz, our guest, she's going to tell us how some of these black ops budgets are created and how trillions of dollars are siphoned off from us, and they dump them into these black op budgets. On Tuesday, Jay Wiedner will be our guest. We're going to talk about the secrets of alchemy and the apocalypse and end of time. Professor Hugo de Grasse is our guest on Wednesday as we look at intelligent machines, and he believes there could be a world war in the late 21st century over this issue of intelligence and machinery. Then on Thursday, Mitch Horowitz joins us as we talk about the occult in ancient spirituality. And then back to Friday night, open lines again right here on Coast to Coast. Let's go to the phones west of the Rockies. It's your turn. Hi there.
Hey there, George. This is Matt from Albuquerque.
Welcome to the show.
Hey, I just wanted to talk about that Oscar guy. That
He was weird, isn't he?
Satan worshiper, right?
One strange person.
Yeah, what's up with that guy?
Is I don't
know. Regular caller?
No, he called first time last week, so this is his second. And I got to tell you, of anybody who's called in the last couple years, he sends chills up everybody's spine.
Yeah, that guy is. I mean, he's really bizarre.
Yeah,
but
it's creepy.
I mean, do you really believe that? You know what he talks about and how he is, and do you think that's just some sort of act? I mean, what's your opinion
on that?
Let me
tell you
really
this.
Believe that?
Some of the callers are great entertainers. Some of the callers are hoaxes and frauds, and some of the callers are pretty darn compelling. My jury's out on this guy. He's got a creepiness to his voice that I haven't picked up in other people. You know,
yeah.
if you were to change your voice and try to be creepy, you know, I'd say, hey, nice job. This guy sounds like that's like really him. And that's what's kind of weird. I mean, didn't you feel it?
Yeah, I mean, I had heard him. And what the bizarre thing is, I mean, because this is why I asked if he had called before, because I could have swore I've heard this guy before, and I'm not sure if it was on Coast to Coast or some other station.
Well, now that's
I've definitely heard a bizarre, creepy guy that called in just like that. You know, I mean, rambling on with that, you know, crazy talk, you know. And that's why I was wondering if he was like a normal caller, because I mean, I could have swore I've heard this guy before.
What city do you live in?
I'm in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Okay, maybe he lives there. Maybe he's called local radio stations out there. That's possible. As far as I'm concerned, though, only twice for me. Now, has he called Art on the weekend? I do not know. I don't think so. Wildcard Line, welcome to Coast to Coast. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Hi, this is Mike from Las Vegas.
Hello there. How are you? How's Vegas these days?
Oh, Vegas is like it always is.
Vegas is Vegas. Never stops.
It never does. Well, yeah, I'm calling because you had a guy talking about sleepwalking.
Yes.
Yes, when I was a kid, I'll say around 11, I had a problem with my stomach and I couldn't walk. So this went on and went on. I went to the hospital. They said I had a stomach flu, and they sent me home. So 2 weeks passed, and I was pretty much paralyzed. Nobody knew what was wrong with me. And then after that, I couldn't go to the bathroom. I couldn't go nowhere. So I thought I was literally dying. The pain was excruciating.
Poor little kid, too. That's bad.
Yeah, so I didn't know. My parents were freaking out. You know, the diagnosis was I had a stomach flu. So what happened is one night I'm laying there, and somebody whispered in my ear, get up and run. So I got from the couch, knowing that I couldn't walk, ran out the backyard, hopped and jumped over a 6-foot fence and started running around the block like a madman. And then ended up at my door with my feet covered in mud and everything. My parents are sitting there shocked at what they're looking at, that I'm there. And after that, I don't remember nothing else.
You know, do you still sleepwalk?
No, but after, you want to hear something more crazy?
Sure.
After that, getting older, I had a very, very crazy dream that I was in front of a liquor store with my friend, and there was gunshots, and then he fell to the ground, and I could see him fall to the ground, and then remember me going in the ambulance.
Don't tell me this happened.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
And then 2 weeks later, I'm at my friend's house getting ready. Something's telling me to go home. You don't want to be here. So I'm like, okay, I'll get ready because we're supposed to go to the mall. I'll get ready at home. And I get this phone call from my friend saying that my other friend is on the ground bleeding to death, that he just got shot.
What happened to him? I mean, why did he get shot? He
wasn't playing with a gun.
Oh.
And I was supposed to be there because I was waiting for him. And he I don't know where he got this gun from, but ended up shooting himself. And before this happened, I told everybody about this dream that I remember the dream that it's like I went to heaven and I was looking for my friend. I didn't know what happened.
You even told these friends who?
I told everybody in school, everybody. And they're, you know, some dismissed it like, you know, you're crazy.
Yep.
But I was telling everybody. I was like, you know what? Somebody got shot in my dream because I woke up, my heart was pounding.
What happened to the friend? Did he recover?
No, he died.
Oh, my God.
We were at the mall, and then my mom told me that he passed away. But after that, I keep having these, like, precog visions that, to this day, I don't want him no more.
And they keep coming?
They keep coming. Like, let's take example of the 9/11 incident. I remember I told my parents that I had a dream that I seen this plane crash in a city hitting, like, a building, and, like, I was standing in front of it, and I could see people falling from the sky.
How soon did you tell them about this before it happened?
Always happens, like, in a week.
Okay.
And sometimes it's like, you know, I have these dreams, and I know it's going to happen, but I just don't want them anymore because they're freaking me out.
Are you seeing anything now?
No. Nothing really. Just, like, family issues mainly, but
I want you to keep in touch with us, and then, you know, you've got a computer. You can email me.
Oh, yeah, I can do that.
All right, keep in touch. Just when you email me, just kind of on the subject line, just put, you know, guest on Coast to Coast so I know it's you. And whenever you get these premonitions and these dreams, just kind of put them out there for us.
Yeah, awesome.
You know, and if you say they occur a week ahead of time, we can monitor this.
And I heard you talking about shadow people.
Yep.
I see those people. It's like I can see another dimension, and these people are, like, walking around.
No, you've got definitely some kind of gift, and I want to be able to take full advantage of that on this program and let people know what's going on with you. And we're going to monitor you and see what happens. We'll check your accuracy. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. It's your turn. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah.
My name is Robin. I'm calling from Fairbanks, Alaska.
Hello, Robin.
Hello. Just calling with, I guess, a story of divine intervention. 20 years ago when I was 7 years old, I was shopping at a local store with my family, and I got separated from my mom. And back then they told us, if you get lost, you stay where you are and your parents will find you. So I was in the toy aisle, and I was perfectly content to stay where I was, and I was playing, and I was approached by a man who said, your mom wants me to take you to the car. And I looked at him and I was like, no, she doesn't. You're lying to me. You better leave before I yell. He's like, okay, but she's just going to be mad. And he walked away. So So I sat there and I sat there, and for what seemed to be forever when you're 7 years old,
sure.
You know. And finally I thought, well, maybe he was telling the truth. So I got up, and my plan was just to walk outside the door and look to see if my mom was at her car.
Mm-hmm.
I walked out the door, and he was right there.
Mm.
He picked me up, and he put me on his shoulders, and he started walking. And at first, we were walking right towards my mom's car.
And you're seven, so are you screaming or anything?
Well, at this point, I mean, he was walking right towards my mom's car, so I thought that he was telling the truth.
Yeah.
But then he started to veer off, and I was like, hey, my mom's car's over there. And he just told me to shut up, and he held on to my legs, like, really tight.
Oh, my God.
When people talk about their heart sinking into their stomach, that's exactly what it felt like. And my first thought was, what have I done? I've gotten myself kidnapped. My parents are going to be so disappointed in me. And I just started fighting with everything that I had, and I was screaming and yelling and kicking and pulling his hair. I bit his ear. I did everything that I could so that he would have to put me down so I could run away.
Were other people around? Could they see this and hear it?
At this point, I don't really know if anybody was around.
You were
because
oblivious
I was
to
so,
that, yeah.
Yeah, I was so focused on just, you know, hurting him so he'd have to let me go. So he took me behind some cars, and he slammed me down on the ground. And I, you know, to be honest, I don't know if I lost consciousness or not. He picks me back up, puts me back on his shoulders, and starts walking around the back of the building. And at this point, I'm just kind of out of it, you know, and I'm slumped over his shoulders, and he's just walking, and he walks all the way around the back of the store, and he starts coming around the other side. And that's when I see a group of like 10 people walking out, you know, kind of separately, but they're all kind of right there. And so I started screaming, help me, help me, this isn't my dad, help me, this isn't my dad. And they looked at me, and they looked down, and they just kept walking.
No!
Yeah. And, you know, at that point, I was like, oh my gosh, they're scared of him too. Nobody's going to help me. And I lost all hope that I had of getting away. And just about then, he got me to his car. First thing he did is he duct tapes my mouth. I can't say anything more. He duct tapes my hands and my feet. And he locks the door and he shuts it. And I didn't, you know, at this point, I didn't even know what to think. I can't even remember thinking anything. And he started walking around the front of the car. And when he got directly in front of me, I made eye contact with him. And at the exact moment that I made eye contact with him, I heard a voice that said, Robin, if you don't get out of the car now, you're going to die. And I was like, how am I going to get out of the car? I can't do anything. And just at that time, he opened up the driver's door. And I remember looking back at the store, and the lock started to glow. And I popped open the lock, and I opened the door, and I started hopping out.
All wrapped up in duct tape.
All wrapped up in duct tape. And he came running around the car again, and he grabs me, and he throws me in, and he locks the door, and he shuts it, and he goes running back around to the driver's side. And I open the door again, and I jump out again. He comes running back around, and I jumped out three times. And on the third time that I jumped out, he grabbed me, and he threw me back into the car, and my head hit the steering wheel. And then all I remember next is thinking, wait a second, the door didn't close. And I sat up, and there was a guy who was beating him up in the parking lot.
Beating up that guy?
Beating up the guy who was trying to kidnap me. And so I just started hopping towards the store. And I, with my, you know, my hands still duct taped together, I ripped the duct tape off my mouth. And then with my teeth, I got the tape off of my hands. And then I stopped for a split second to get the duct tape off of one leg so that I could run instead of hop.
Did they catch this guy or did he get away, Robin? I've got to run right now.
At that point, he got away.
God.
But they did catch him later. And one last thing is that the guy who saved me heard me screaming from a block away, and came running, and it took me jumping out of the car three times for him to catch up.
Finally,
to me.
A great ending to a story. Robin, thanks, and we're glad that little 7-year-old you was okay. Only on Coast to Coast. For Karis Coburn, Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Have a great weekend, everyone. Pray for the Pope, and be safe, everybody.